As we continue our Sunday sermon series on Be Still. Be Still, taken primarily from Psalm chapter 46 and verse 10. Let us take this opportunity to be able to read this once again, this particular verse. By now you should be able to memorize this verse as well, whichever language or the English version that you follow. Let us really mean as we read this from Psalm chapter 46 and verse 10. Be still. Shall we all read this together, please? Be still and know that I am God. I'll be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. May the Lord bless the reading of this word, especially in other languages. In Hindi, it says, Chup ho jao. In Telugu, it says, Ura kundumu, urko. So it's very important for us, as we meditate on this Be Still series, that the Lord would guide us to focus our attention on his word. Let's pray. Our gracious, loving Heavenly Father, I pray, Father, as we meditate on today's portion as well, that you may speak to us through your living word. Not my words, but let your words come through me. Lord, we have come with different situations that are happening in our lives, Father. Lord, many things, sometimes some things that we can share, some things we will not be able to share also, Lord. Lord, such is the kind of situation we are going through in our personal life, maybe family life, work life, career path, or immigration-wise. I do not know what specific thing that we are specifically going through, Lord, but you know, Lord, our hearts. And I pray, Lord, that you may speak to us through your living word. For we ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. So, so on this Be Still series that we are learning, today we are going to focus one specific verse from Exodus chapter 14. Let's turn our Bibles to Exodus chapter 14. We will read verses 13 and 14 together in English. Those of us who have the English version, please read along with me. And later, I request others who have different languages to read your portion in your language as well. Exodus chapter 14, verses 13 and 14. But Moses said to the people, "Do not fear. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you will never see them again forever. The Lord will fight for you while you keep silent." Please read in any other language. Okay. Any other language, please? Any other language? Okay, is there any other language that you are holding? Otherwise, let us read this in Hindi. Oh, Urdu? Okay. Okay, let's all read this in Hindi. Let's all read this. Musa ne logon se kaha, "Daro mat, kade kade vah udar ka kaam dekho, jo Yehovah aaj tumhare liye karega. Kyunki jin Misriyon ko tum aaj dekhte ho, unko fir kabhi na dekhoge. Yehovah aap hi tumhare liye ladega, isliye tum chupchap raho." Same portions. Different ways in which the scripture is talking about to be still. In this particular portion that we have read, it uses the word stand still. If you have King James Version or New King James Version, in verse 13 of Exodus chapter 14, it says, "Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord." Or be, stand firm. Or in other words, be silent. In other words, urakundamo, or chupchap raho. We have read in various languages, in Gujarati, in Kannada, in Urdu, in Hindi, in Telugu, many languages. But they all are trying to drive home one point, that we need to be still. And today, may the Lord speak to us specifically from this scriptural portion. In Hindi, it's interesting, and I was reading through, there was one portion where it says, Tumhare liye karega, kyunki jin misriyon ko tum aaj dekhte ho, unko fir kabhi na dekhoge. Jin misriyon ko. In other languages that you have, probably it uses the word Aigiptilu or Egyptians. But suddenly in Hindi it uses the word Misriyon. Misriyon. This is an alternate word for Egyptians. Misriyon has come from the word Mizraim. Mizraim or Egypt both mean the same. Probably you did not know that, but better let us know now. Let us turn our Bibles to Genesis chapter 10. Genesis chapter 10. And verse 6. Please read. Genesis chapter 10 and verse 6.
Sons of Ham were Cush, Mizraim, Put, and Canaan.
The sons of Ham. By the way, Ham is the son of Noah. One of the sons of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. In verse 6 it says, the sons of Ham were Cush, Mizraim, and Put, and Canaan. If you have English Standard Version, could you please read it? Cush, Egypt, Put, and Canaan. Cush, Egypt, Mizraim, or Egypt, they are interchangeably used. Mizraim, Mizrai. So here he says Misriyon. Misriyon had come from the people of Mizraim are called Misriyon. Mizraites or Egyptians. Both are similar words. Talking about two particular straits of rivers that were coming out as well. And that place is also the country of Egypt. So here, there is something that we can learn from these two. Here we see verse 6, both the sons of Ham, Mizraim or Egypt and Canaan. Egypt and Canaan are two major places that we can learn today from the Bible. So let us see one portion. This is the today's world. I've taken it from the Google map, Google Earth for that matter, to be very precise. So here, if you notice, there are a bunch of seas. Persian Gulf on the right bottom, Caspian Sea, Black Sea, Mediterranean Sea. These are all the seas. This is in the Middle East area. And you have Iran, Iraq, Kuwait, Jordan, Syria, Lebanon, Cyprus, Turkey, and all these Armenia places. You see this here? Israel. There is Egypt. There is a Red Sea here. This is the portion that we are going to focus upon from the book of Exodus. But here you see Egypt, Israel. This is the current day world map. If you go to these places, you will visit those places and visit those specific countries as well. Let us go now to the Old Testament world. The same map in the Old Testament days. This is how it used to look like. Persian Gulf, Caspian Sea, Black Sea, Mediterranean Sea, Red Sea. The same. Geography is the same. It never changed. But you notice here, the words that were used were Persia, Elam, Syria is the same Syria today as well. Asia Minor, which is a Turkey. Armenia is still the Armenia. Egypt is still the Egypt. You see here, Canaan. That area now is the Israel area. There are other places, Jordan and other places as well. But if you notice here, this is the primary area. Mount Sinai is here and the Red Sea. So the geography-wise, it is the same. It is not a myth. But it's always good to be able to look geographically as well. And if you get a chance to visit these places also, it is wonderful to see with our own physical eyes. Let me zoom into that yellow box. And here you notice here, Egypt, the Nile River, and Mount Sinai, Canaan. You see here, the small, this is what I keep repeating on and on, the Sea of Galilee on the top, the Dead Sea on the bottom, and the river that connects the Sea of Galilee with the Dead Sea is the Jordan River, the line that is there. So Canaan is this place. The sons of Ham were Egypt, Canaan. The places also were given after the names of those sons of Ham. And you know this place, these people of Israel, the children of Israel, were in the captivity in the land of Egypt. See, when you look at the map, you can get a better picture. When you read the scriptures also, you can understand better. So Egypt was a place where the people of Israel were under captivity for almost 400 years. And then the Lord, under the leadership of Moses, brings them out of the land of Egypt for them to cross the Red Sea. There are different ways in which people try to draw the lines as to how people have crossed the Red Sea. Was it here they crossed, or here they crossed? It is not about the place. There are many theories that are mentioned. Some people say that they crossed somewhere here and they came down to Mount Sinai, and that is where the Ten Commandments were given. Some say that it went like this. So the path is not clearly known, but one thing we know, that they crossed the Red Sea. Overall, this Red Sea that is here, that has split into two, this is called a peninsula, which is the Mount Sinai area. So this passage that is there, this is the Mediterranean Sea, as I was telling you, on the top, and this is the Red Sea that is on the bottom, and the things that are connected. I want to share with you a particular story that happened in 1856. Artist August Bartholdi was vacationing in Egypt, and he was overwhelmed by what he saw: the grandeur of the pyramids, the stateliness of the Sphinx, and the beauty of the Nile all filled him with awe. While he was there, he met another visitor to Egypt, Ferdinand de Lesseps. De Lesseps was proposing a canal that would begin at Red Sea, and cut through the desert to ultimately join with the Mediterranean Sea on the top, saving merchant ships the long journey around the tip of Africa. By the way, Egypt is in Africa, if you do not know the geography. Do you know what that canal was? The canal that was connecting the Red Sea with the Mediterranean Sea? The name of the canal was Suez Canal. Suez Canal. Probably you must have heard or read in your social studies, the Suez Canal. Bartholdi was inspired by de Lesseps' plan, and he proposed designing a lighthouse for the entrance to this canal at the Red Sea. This was to be no ordinary lighthouse. This was going to be the work of art. It would symbolize the light of Western civilization flowing to the East. August worked on his idea for over 10 years, drawing plans and molding clay models. He scrapped plan after plan until he found the right one, the perfect design. His lighthouse would have been a huge robed lady standing taller than the Sphinx. In one hand, she would hold the Book of Justice, and in the other, a torch. Only one problem remained: who would pay for it? He looked everywhere, but no one was interested. So when the Suez Canal finally opened, there was no lighthouse. Discouraged and disheartened, August returned to France. 10 years of toil wasted. But back home, the French government sought him out. They wanted to give a gift to America. They chose his lighthouse, which now stands in the New York Harbor. Do you know what the name of that grand lighthouse is? The Statue of Liberty. That was originally intended to be kept somewhere near the Red Sea. Now, the Statue of Liberty was originally designed to stand on the shore of the Red Sea at the entrance of the Suez Canal, but now Bartholdi's lighthouse stands in the harbor of New York City, and it has become the symbol of liberty for the world for over 100 years. What we are reading about here is not a particular statue, but it is a symbol of liberty, but it is an event that we are going to learn tonight, today. Exodus chapter 14, right at the shore of the Red Sea. Not about a statue called Liberty Statue, but an event. The people who were there, who were going to cross Egypt into the promised land to go all the way to Canaan, they crossed the Red Sea. That also talks about liberty. And especially this particular weekend, talking about the independence. The United States is celebrating its Independence Day, remembering the liberty that they have got, the freedom that they have received. The Bible says that the freedom is coming from Jesus Christ. When the Son sets you free, S-O-N, you are free indeed. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. There is liberty. And liberty and happiness and pursuit of happiness is what the American way of living is, because of the freedom that the country has enjoyed. And the Statue of Liberty was a symbolism of the freedom that they have received. Today we are going to meditate upon Exodus chapter 14, talking about a freedom. The freedom from the bondage of the Egyptian hold. Spiritually speaking, the freedom from the bondage of sin. Egypt was a symbolism of sin. And Canaan is the symbolism of the promised land. But for that, you need to cross through certain things. And that is what we are going to learn today from the book of Exodus chapter 14. May the Lord speak to us, especially during this weekend of the Independence Weekend, that the Lord would give us independence from the bondage of the sin, and that easily holds us and lets us be able to come out of that bondage. So today we are going to meditate on stand still and see, primarily from Exodus chapter 14. Probably you know this story. Otherwise, you may go back and read through this story. Even children are aware of this particular story. People watch the Ten Commandments about how this people of Israel under the bondage in Egypt came out under the leadership of Moses. We're not going to look at all the chapters, but primarily focusing on Exodus chapter 14. In this particular chapter, there are certain things that we can learn. And here in this particular chapter, we notice that after the 10 plagues, we were able to come out, these people of Israel came out. The Pharaoh, Ramesses, as it is being told by the historians, he let the people go finally. When Moses said, "Let my people go," after so many trials, after 10 plagues, he finally let them go. I hope you all have the sermon notes with you. If you need a pencil or a pen, please ask the brothers who are walking by as well. They'll pass it on to you. And here we notice certain things. Notice this carefully. It doesn't matter which language you have. Notice your Bibles. It's very important to see in your own Bibles what we are learning today. Quickly, I'm going to go through various verses, but in between, I'll be stopping and letting us to focus our attention upon it. Now the Lord spake to Moses, verse 1. Tell the sons of Israel to turn back and camp before Pihahiroth, between Migdol and the sea. You shall camp in the front of Baal Zephon, opposite by the sea. So they were by the Red Sea. Which specific place, we don't know, but they were by the Red Sea. And here God is saying, I will harden Pharaoh's heart, verse 4, and he will chase after them. I will be honored through Pharaoh and all his army, and the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord, and they did so. So now we notice, we'll be fast-forwarding a little bit. As we draw towards verse 9, let's go to verse 9. The Egyptians chased after them with all the horses and chariots. These here, there were so many thousands, hundreds of thousands of people who were going on Exodus. They were coming out of the land of Egypt. As they were coming out of the land of Egypt, Pharaoh started chasing the sons of Israel. As they were chasing, verse 9, Egyptians chased after them with the horses and chariots of Pharaoh, his horsemen, and his army, and they overtook them camping by the sea beside Pihahiroth in front of the Baal Zephon. Verse 10, as Pharaoh drew near, the sons of Israel looked, and behold, the Egyptians were marching after them, and they became very frightened. So the sons of Israel cried out to the Lord. Today, we are going to focus upon a view called cross view. Cross view, cross section. You know, when you did some experiments, etc., there is something called cross-sectional view of it. Cross view, there are various examples or meanings of the word cross. Cross talking about the cross of Lord Jesus Christ. Cross talking about the X that people call it as cross. And the cross that is talking about crossing from one place to another place. So here we are going to meditate on all these aspects about crossing the Red Sea. They are at one side of the shore of the Red Sea. Now they have to cross. Cross view, as it is written in your sermon notes. The cross view. The first thing we notice here in verse 10. Verse 10, you can note it down. It is backward view. Backward view. What is this backward view? Here we see in verse 10, as Pharaoh drew near, the sons of Israel looked. They lifted their eyes. And behold, the Egyptians were marching them. So they were going forward. As they were going forward, they were at the Red Sea. They suddenly noticed the backward view. In the backward view, they saw the Egyptians marching after them. The bondage that is coming back, that is behind them. The enemy forces that were behind them. The backward view. What did they do? They cried out to the Lord. Then Moses said to them, is it because... Then they said to Moses, is it because there were no graves in Egypt that you have taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you dealt with us in this way, bringing us out of Egypt? And they were complaining. They were crying out to the Lord in verse 10, but at the same time, they were complaining against the leader. They were not able to know what to do. They were totally confused. They were worried. It is like this. When children are in a place where there are some bee wasps going around, what do they do? Oh, I don't know what to do. They keep on crying out, "Dad, help me out. Dad, help me out. Is this why you brought me here to be able to sit in this area to be affected by the bees?" Such is the kind like kids where they keep jumping up and down when the bees are around. Verse 13, Moses said to the people, notice this carefully. As you look backward, it is not about being frightened. And as it says in verse 10, the first thing that we can learn, and when we look back on the things that are happening, is the word of God says, fear not. Fear not. Take this as a promise from the Lord, as a commandment from the Lord. The word of God says, fear not. Backward you. Many things must have happened in the past in our lives. Most of the time, we live in our past. The past that is really causing us so much of havoc in our lives that we always have this backward view, unable to go forward in our lives. The backward view is causing us to get frightened. Oh, what is going to happen? The same things that have happened in my past in Egypt, now those things are coming back towards me. Maybe there is something that is bothering us. Maybe something that is haunting us. Do not live in the past, my dear. Past is past. You cannot undo the past. There is no undo button. There is no control Z in our lives. It is not about the past. But whenever you have the backward view, the word of God says, fear not. Fear not, my dear. Fear not. Maybe there is something bothering us. Maybe something that is causing us to be so frightened, unable to know. Outwardly, you may be smiling, but inwardly, it is maybe bothering us so much. The past is haunting us. The Bible says, do not fear. Don't be afraid, my dear. Don't be afraid. It's easy to say, brother, you might say. It is not me telling. God's word is saying. If God is saying it, there is a value to it. Do not fear or fear not. Somebody counted and they said it is counted, and they counted it as 366 times it's repeated, fear not. To take care of once a day, even the leap year, that extra day, 366th day. Why? Why is God's word reminding us on and on and on not to fear? Because we are bound to fear. We are people of fear. Externally, we may be able to say nothing is fine, everything is fine. But internally, heart is beating so hard, not able to know what is going on. Do not fear. If we should not fear, what should our view be? The view should be an inward view. Do not fear. Yes, I should not fear because of the things that are happening, that have happened in my backward view. But internally, I need to do something. What is that I need to do? Internal, inward view. Backward view? You must already guess what exactly are the blanks here, backward view, and then the inward view. And inward view, in the same verse 13, it says, stand still, stand still. Quieten down, urakundumo. Just wherever you are, if you are standing, just stand still. Don't do anything. If the bees may be going around, just stand still. Don't run around. Just stand still. Inward view, inwardly, in your heart of hearts, as the word of God says, do not fear because of the backward view, but stand still. Stand still. Be still. Be quiet. Chup ho jao. Just quieten down. Many times we are unable to move forward in our lives because of the backward thing, the things that have happened in our backward view, that we get so disturbed here and there. The word of God says, just be still, or stand still, in other words. Wherever you are, just stand still, my dear. And now, we notice one more thing about that, is now that you stand still, backward view, inward view, now that you are standing still, there is another view, which is an upward view. Upward view. What is an upward view? Looking up. There's a backward view, things that are happening in our back. Inwardly, make sure that you stand still. And now, the upward view is see the salvation of the Lord today. It says in verse 13, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. It is not some other day. Today, God is saying, I am going to let you see my salvation today. The word salvation in Hebrew, it says Yeshua. Yeshua means salvation. Salvation of the Lord, meaning Yeshua. The Greek word for Yeshua is Yesus, none other than Jesus. Stand still and see Jesus. See the salvation of the Lord. God is going to save. Don't look at the back. While you're looking at the back, don't be afraid, because the things are happening on the backside. You have to know that there are things that are haunting us. But our view should be, I want to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. God wants you to see the salvation, to experience the salvation. Remember the series we meditated upon? Believe and see, or see and believe. What are we doing? Can you believe inwardly to stand still and say, Lord, I want to see your salvation. I want to see the salvation of the Lord. And this is a preview or the shadow of the coming of Jesus Christ. The salvation of God. This particular crossing of the Red Sea is a reminder of the salvation of God. That God wants to bring salvation unto us. That is an upward view. And he says here, which he will accomplish for you today. He's going to save us today. You might see the results later on, but he is saving you today. Today is the day of salvation. God is expecting each one of us to experience that salvation of God. Salvation from the bondages that we are tied in our lives. Today, you will see the salvation of the Lord. And here he continues saying, for the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you will never see them again before. Just going back to the backward view. In the backward view, you can note down another point. Let us note it down. Not only the fear not, it says in verse 13, stand still, see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish today. The Egyptians that you see today, you will never see them again forever. What a wonderful promise it is. God is saying, this removal of the bondage that he wants to accomplish in our lives is forever. It is not partial. But he is saying, whom you have seen today, you will never see them again forever. You will see the salvation of God today, and you will see those things that you have been seeing in your backward view, you will never see them again forever. What a wonderful promise it is. Maybe you have read this verse. As I was meditating upon it, I was greatly enjoying the meditation of his word, because God's word is so wonderful. And he was just making me enjoy his word as much as I'm sharing with you today. God's word is so wonderful. Backward view, I got reminded of our driving. Those of us who have been driving, you know, when you're driving, there is a rear view mirror. How big is it? It's not this big. It is this small. As you are going forward, there are things that you will get to see, but your focus is forward. Certain things may be happening. Side view mirrors are also there. And the rear view mirror. Sometimes, once in a while, you keep seeing, but your focus is on the front. Certain cars that are behind you, you'll keep watching, and you keep driving. You're careful. And after some time, you see that in the rear view mirror, that car is gone. I don't know where it is. It just vanished. Maybe it went away, took the next exit, or whatever that is. You will see them. You will never see them again forever. In other words, I was trying to remind myself as I'm driving on the road that God is reminding that there are many things that have happened in your past. Certain things you have to learn from the past, but certain things that needs to be wiped away from your past. for us to move forward in our lives. There is a rear view mirror, no doubt about it. But don't focus on the rear view mirror and drive. Imagine you're doing that. Rear view mirror, living in the past and driving. What will happen? We will meet with accidents in our lives. Watch out. God's word is so wonderful that he has told us, he has given us the promise that you will never see them again forever. What a wonderful God we have. Let's move forward. So now, he says, the next one in verse 14, upward view again. What does it say? In verse 14, the Lord will fight for you while you hold your peace. In other words, the Lord will fight for you. Upward view, keep the Lord's. Have your eyes upon the Lord. He's the one who's going to save us. So Lord will fight for you. Inwardly, you hold your peace. Be silent. Inwardly, hold your peace. Stand still and hold your peace. That is inward view. And upward view is the Lord will fight for you. Your eyes are upon him. Lord, my eyes are upon you. I want to see the salvation of God. God, help me in the situation that I'm going through. Maybe some kind of a situation that is bothering us. Maybe you have come here asking God, God, speak to me, Lord. Lord, strengthen me, Lord. Encourage me from your word. The word of God says, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. Do not be afraid. The Lord will fight for you. You hold your peace. Be silent. Be silent. Wait upon the Lord. Look upon the Lord. God is going to do something wonderful. Probably, I'm thinking, from verse 14 to verse 15, there is some gap. There is some gap that we see from between verse 14 and 15. There is keep silent. And suddenly in my Bible, it is a new paragraph. I don't know if you have it as a separate paragraph in verse 15 onwards. Why? Why is there a separate paragraph? Now, probably, Moses himself and the people of Israel had to first settle down on those two verses. Just let them focus upon those 13 and 14. Stand, do not fear. Yes, I should not fear. I need to stand still. I need to see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for me today. I need to be able to know that the Egyptians whom we have seen today, I will see them no more. The Lord will fight for me. And I need to hold my peace. And these might be the situations that each one was encouraging one another to wait upon the Lord, crying out to the Lord. Now in verse 15, let us see. One of us, could you please read verse 15?
And the Lord said to Moses, why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward.
Why do you cry to me? Maybe they were crying. If you see in verse 10, they cried out to the Lord. Even Moses started crying out to the Lord, though he encouraged the people of Israel. As a leader, he had to encourage the people of Israel to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. But as a human being, he must also be crying out to the Lord. Because in verse 15, the Lord said to Moses, why do you cry unto me? Why are you crying out to me? Yes, we are crying out to the Lord as we are standing still. But the time will come. The time will come where the fourth one that we are going to learn is the forward view. Backward view, inward view, upward view, and forward view. What is the forward view? Why are you crying out to me? Tell the sons of Israel to go forward. Move on. If you have a New International Version, it says move on. Stand still? Yes, I'm standing still and waiting upon the Lord. I'm asking the Lord. But the moment of time will come. In his time, he'll make all things beautiful. And here he says, go forward. Many times we remain there. 13 and 14 is our life. We will forever keep on standing still and waiting upon the Lord. The Lord will fight for me. Yes, but we are not going forward with verse 15. Why are you crying out to me? Tell the sons of Israel, go forward. Move on. Move on. The time has come for you to move on. Why are you still staying there? Why are you crying out to me? It's like this. There is a couple. They are waiting for their child to be born. They have been praying, Lord, in your time, you make all things beautiful. And one night, the wife suddenly wakes up from the bed and she says, "Honey, honey, I think the time has come. Let us rush." And the husband, he jumps out of the bed and he kneels down and says, "Let us pray." So the wife says, "No, honey, the time has come. Why are you? We have been praying about it. Now time for action. Let us rush to the hospital." Yes, we need to know what to do, when to do. It is not about the things. Yes, you have to be in the attitude of prayer, but the moment the time comes, move forward. Take action. Many times we don't take action. We just sit there. These are the spiritual lessons, practical lessons that we need to learn. God's word is saying, go forward. Go forward. With the thing that God has enabled us, tell the sons of Israel to go forward. I have read this many times, but every time I read the scriptural portion, God reveals newer revelations, newer thoughts in the meditation of the same word. Go forward. If you have been waiting upon the Lord for a certain thing, saying, "Lord, when should I do?" Verse 15, as we look upon the Lord, he's saying, "Why are you crying out to me?" Please read in any other language, please, verse 15. Shouldn't we cry out to the Lord? Any other language? Shouldn't we ask the Lord? We have to ask the Lord. You have to stand still and see the salvation of God. Yes. But there will come a point of time that not only prayer, but action. We are people of prayer, no doubt about it. We have to be people of prayer. But we have to be people of action as well. Don't just linger there saying, "Oh, brother, I'll pray about it. I'll keep on praying. I'm praying. Yes. We should be in the attitude of prayer. But we should also be conscious of the still small voice of God where he says, go forward. Go forward. And that is what the word of God says here. Go forward. And when I was reading through this particular scriptural portion, I was really encouraged that God's word not only tells us to cry out to him, but also certain times he says, "Why are you crying out to me? Just go forward." Verse 16, "As for you, lift up your staff, stretch out your hand over the sea, divide it, the sons of Israel shall go through the midst of the sea on dry land." On dry land. In verse 20, it came between the camp. If you read this, I was really encouraged. Verse 19, "The angel of the Lord who had been going before the camp of Israel moved and went behind them." The same angel of the Lord, again, it's a Christophany. Christophany means the appearance of Christ. In the Old Testament, wherever you see angel of the Lord, most of the time it is interpreted as the presence of Christ during that time in the Old Testament days. Angel of the Lord. Yehovah Malak means angel of the Lord. Here the angel of the Lord who had been going before the camp, he was leading the people. The time has come because there's a backward view. There are enemies that are coming. The angel of the Lord who was before them, he came behind them. We have a God who is not only in front of us, who is leading us, but he says, "You go forward, I am behind you." Like a child, when he's walking or she is walking, the father or the mother holds them behind and says, "Walk." Such is the kind of a God we have. He immediately went behind them. Verse 20, "It came about that the camp of Egypt, the camp of Israel, there was a cloud along the darkness, yet it gave light at night." It was darkness for the Egyptians. The same cloud, the pillar of cloud, was darkness for the Egyptians, but it was pillar of light or fire for the people of Israel. All night. What did Moses do? He stretched out his hand, and the Lord swept the sea back by a strong east wind all night and turned the sea into dry land. So the waters were divided. God did that marvelous thing. God separated them. Many people try to interpret this particular portion. And they say that, "Oh, it was just a knee-deep water. It just got separated. It's not a big deal about the Red Sea. It was a knee-deep." And somebody said, "If it was a knee-deep, I much more praise God, because in that knee-deep of water, all the Egyptian chariots, they fell and died. In that knee-deep water, if you are telling that the water was just knee-deep height, How could the Egyptians and all the chariots fall and die in the water? It is not about interpreting it, trying to disprove it. It is about God's wondrous thing that he has done. So the thing that we can learn about the forward view is, go forward, go through the midst of the sea on dry land all night. All night they were traveling. Go through the midst of the sea. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Psalm chapter 23 and verse 4, we have meditated upon it through the valley series. God wants to let us go through the sea, not around the sea or anything. He wants to show forth his power and his strength by separating the water, a miraculous thing that has happened, on dry ground, not just wet ground. Oh, when the water has been separated, imagine on two walls are water. These people were going through dry land. Not even something mushy, marshy, and unable to see it, so much of beach sand. No, it is a dry land. What a wonderful God we have. He will take away everything from our lives in order to make a way. God will make a way where there seems to be no way. He works in ways we cannot see. He can do that, my dear. If he could separate the Red Sea into two and let you walk through the dry land, can't he take care of the problem that you're going through right now? He can, my dear. Our God is so great. My God is good. My God is great. Your God is great. He can do those wonders. Maybe you're doubting that wondrous thing that God can do. If God could give dry land, all he's telling is, you need to walk through it all night. You need to walk through it all night. Verse 24. At the morning watch, the Lord looked down on the army of Egyptians. Though the sorrow may last for the night, joy comes in the morning. The nightlife is a troubled life. Nightlife is difficulties. But God is saying, I am behind you. The angel of the Lord went behind them. And he was telling, I'm going to take care of the enemy forces. You go forward. You go forward. You go on the dry land. Oh, no. I don't want to go. You need to go through that. You need to go forward through the sea on dry land all night. Because in the morning watch, you know what a morning watch? We know we have night watch prayer meetings. Every 3 hours in the night from 6 o'clock to 6 p.m. to 6 a.m., it is called night watch. From 6 a.m. onwards, every 3 hours is called morning watch. First 3 hours, 6 to 9. And something happened in the morning watch, verse 24. The Lord looked down on the army of Egyptians and he caused them into confusion. And finally, they won. These Egyptians, everyone died. Everyone died. Verse 30. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day from the hand of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. Dead on the seashore. When Israel saw the great power which the Lord has used against the Egyptians, the people, notice this, feared the Lord and they believed in the Lord and in his servant Moses. The last thing that we can learn is inward view. The moment you experience the salvation of God, you need to fear the Lord, or reverence towards him. You worship him. Reverential fear. You worship him and believe in the Lord and his servant Moses. And the people of God who work for him. You fear the Lord, have faith in the Lord. Fear the Lord, not the people. Fear not from a backward view, but an inward view. You need to fear the Lord and have faith in him. By faith only this can happen, my dear. Maybe the situations that we are going through in our lives, God is telling, by faith, do it. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Verse 29, please read. Hebrews 11, 29. By faith they passed through the Red Sea. But they were drowned. They passed through. They crossed the Red Sea. But the Egyptians drowned in the Red Sea. The same Red Sea God lets his people pass through. But the same Red Sea, God lets the problems that we have to be drowned in our life. Egypt is a representation of problems in our lives, troubles in our lives, bondages in our lives, temptations in our lives, trials in our lives. By faith, they crossed the Red Sea. Crossing the Red Sea, there is a cross that God has enabled us to cross, is where the cross of Jesus Christ. At the cross of Jesus Christ, he stretched out his hand. He prayed unto God, Father, forgive them. He looked down and said, I was concerned about the mother. And to the right and the left, he said, I forgive you. You shall be with me in paradise. That is a cross experience, a cross view. Remember, Christ has come into this world to save us. And see the cross of Jesus Christ. Experience the salvation of God. He has come into this world to die for us on the cross of Calvary. He came in between the camp of Egypt and camp of Israel. He came in between. He became the mediator in terms of being able to separate us from our sin in order to lead us to the promised land. That is the kind of experience. My dear brother and sister, in conclusion, I want to encourage each one of us. If you have been going through troubled times in your lives, remember one thing. There is a backward view, no doubt about it. There is a rear view mirror. Yes, it will be there. But what you see, you may not see again. Because the word of God says that. But have the inward view of being standing still, holding your peace, fearing God, and to be able to know that, Lord, I believe in you, that you can help me to go through the sea. The sea, S-E-A, you cross the sea. And that cross is Jesus Christ that is enabling us to go from one side to the other side. That is the bridge. There is a bridge to cross. There's a song that is written. There's a bridge to cross, and the cross is that bridge. There's a bridge to cross. The cross is the bridge. May the Lord bless this word and remember Christ and his sacrifice on the cross. Remember these three words. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. May the Lord bless this word. Let's close our eyes. And in reflection of what we have learned today, I want to encourage each one of us, my dear brother and sister. Maybe you're sitting here with so much of trouble in our lives. Maybe our rear view mirror is bigger than our car itself. That is causing us so much of problems. But let me tell you, when our focus goes on to God, and inward view and upward view, the rear view mirror becomes small and small and small and small.